Hey, JB.
What's up?
Don't stop.
Keep pouring?
Keep pouring, my friend. Welcome to another edition here, the last edition here of the year here.
2021. Hey, where did the year go?
21. Oh, it went to COVID. It's COVID.
That's crazy, dude. We've been like 2 years of this shit. Think about it. It's been like a full 2 years of fucking COVID. It's crazy.
It looks like we're getting used to the shit now. Like,
yeah. It's just part of life. Just daily life, which is what I expected.
Yeah, I, you know, as much as I like to keep thinking to say like, oh, it's part of life. I love it. When I hear people that get it, which I've heard a lot of people that caught it this week, people that I mm-hmm. know a little too close to my comfort, if you will, even including one of my neighbor down the street, her daughter had caught it a second time this year. She just had it 3 months ago. She caught it again. And I was like, it's a little too close to comfort. And every time I hear someone that catches it, it's very rare that I hear anyone that has that are asymptomatic now, especially this week. Everybody told me they felt like shit and their Christmas is ruined or whatever and shit. And, you know, a part of me wanted to feel sympathy for them, but then the other part of me was like, well, you should have got your ass vaccinated. I mean, you know, I mean, I kind of wanted to show a little sympathy, but the other part of me was just like, I mean, should have got that needle in your arm or whatever, you know, or you should have stopped partying with random ass strangers and shit like that. You know, I was telling one, COVID is the decade of you need to keep your inner circle of friends really tight and trust and respect them, because they're not gonna respect you. So health is probably one of the most important things.
They don't give a fuck about you.
Oh God, no. Mm-mm. Oh, but I am your godfather, Whiskey. I'm JB.
I am the godfather of craft beer, Cody.
And like Cody said, this year has gone to, the past 2 years have been gone to COVID. And it feels like it's 2019 all over, going into 2020, Cody, with this new variant.
Right? It feels like a pandemic is starting over and over again each year. Crazy, right?
Feels like it's really never going to end, huh?
This is our future, basically.
Yeah, you already look like Booker Eli with that poncho on and that hoodie.
I know. Like,
you look like you're already ready for the apocalypse and shit.
Yeah, buckering down, yeah.
Me and Cody both dress like we normally don't, by the way.
Right?
I guess we just both settled into this new, mm-hmm. Well, shit, might as well be in the apocalypse. It's cold as fucking California nowadays. It's raining every damn day.
Yeah, it's been a lot of rain these past few days, man. A lot.
I think it's rained more in the past 2 weeks than it has in the past 10 years in all of California.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
And it's been 50 degrees for like 4 weeks now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Still shit.
Still continuing, too, because I just saw the news mm-hmm. report for next week. It's more rain and more 50-degree weather.
Hey, California was just like, oh, so you say we don't have four seasons? Oh, okay. I'll show you.
Yeah, we'll show you. Mother Nature yeah. and climate change said, mm-hmm. all right, time to fuck with California now. We fucked with mm-hmm. the Midwest a little bit, and we got them East Coasters. We sure did get them. Those Californians, though, they're getting a little comfortable over there. Let's just remind them. Let's remind them. Let's make them never forget who we are, you know? They pulled a Walter White on us. They was like, say my name, bitch. Say my
name. You're goddamn right.
You see a scientist on the ground right now on his knees. Climate change. Oh, oh man. I saw like a little holiday party concert that I guess LA was having at the Forum, whatever. That shit was packed as fuck. And I was just like, man, didn't we just have a new mask mandate kick in and shit? I was like, God damn. We can't even get through the new year without... Because our numbers have been shooting up.
You already knew that, brother. You already knew that.
Oh, dude. It's like, we can't chill for like at least the rest of the year. Like, we can't get them numbers down just a little bit. You know, remember that period we was doing so well for that 1 week, Cody?
I do. That was literally just 1 week.
Felt like ages ago, too, when that happened. Anyway, people, enough of that shit. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. This is the last show of the year. Yes, we do. A lot of stuff to talk about. First thing I want to wrap in the last week's show, Cody, with Halo Infinite. I finally played it. Played deep into it. Okay. That game is a lot of goddamn fun, I got to say. That game is a lot.
It looks good, man.
It's an open world Halo game, which I never thought should be a thing or whatever, but it actually works like better than ever than it. And it's feels funny because Halo is not like groundbreaking or anything like that. They just add a little minute shit to it and you'd be like, this makes this game so much better now by having this little detail in here that other games I've already had. Another thing too is the one negative thing I got to say is you really need to be in depth with the Halo story because they were talking about some shit and I was just like, I don't even remember that happening in the last game. Wait, what? I think they just making this shit up.
Yeah, if you're looking for that, bro, yeah, I think you have to keep up because, yeah, don't expect to know right off the bat what the fuck's going on.
Man.
Because what's the last Halo game you played?
Halo, I played all of them. I played
Last one I played was 4.
I played 5.
And that was 2012. That was 9 years ago.
God damn.
It was the last Halo game I played.
I'm pretty up to date on Halo because I'm a Halo fan, but I heard the Master Chief say some shit in a story, some cinematic mode or whatever, and I just looked at him. I was just like, nigga, did you just make that up? Because I don't remember that happening.
Yeah,
that
my brother was telling me, you know, Luke Cage was a character in, like, last Halo game, I think.
Yeah, I hate that game.
And evidently, nobody liked that game.
And you know why nobody liked that game, though? You know why nobody liked that? It's because they had to play as Luke Cage. Nobody wanted to fucking play as Luke Cage, okay? All right.
I heard they killed his ass off screen.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, he did.
His name was Locke, right?
His name was Locke, yeah. Should have locked his armor and never played as that nigga. Okay? I did not want to play as his ass. You spend half of the game playing as this motherfucker in Halo 5. You're just like, I don't give a fuck about this dude. I don't want to play as this dude. I want to play as that motherfucker in the green armor, okay? And you, this whole time, you chasing down Cortana. And I swear, Master Chief said some comment, whatever, about Cortana in here. And I was just like, I'm not going back to play Halo 5 because fuck that game. But I do not remember that happening, Chief. But you know what? I'm just going to treat this like Transformers. This was a reboot. This is a new beginning. And you can say whatever the fuck you want to say. Just give me some villains to shoot at and I'm fine.
I never played 5, but I remember my least favorite Halo was Halo 3.
I'd rather play 3 than 5.
I didn't like Halo 3. I know a lot of people are fans of Halo 3, but I wasn't a fan of that.
Play the fuck out.
I like Reach. I think an underrated Halo game is ODST. I really like that one.
I was going to say the underrated one for me was Reach.
Reach is good, too.
I loved Reach. Yeah. Funny thing is, Reach, you don't even play as Master Chief. Because that just shows you can play as Spartans or whatever and have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Halo 5. Oof. Ooh, man. Oh, I'd rather play 3, whatever bad ones there is, over fucking 5 any other goddamn day. Not want to play this ball-headed ass.
I'm hearing great things about Infinite, man. That's why I want an Xbox. If I can find that motherfucker, because I want to play Infinite.
That's the best part about it is I don't have to pay for shit, dude. I almost bought the fucking game, too, and then only to realize...
It's on Game Pass.
Oh, that's supposed to be like a dumbass. I was like, holy shit, it's on Game Pass. What was I thinking?
I want to play it, man. I want to fucking play it.
You know, the thing is, it's got a great length, too. So, you know, ain't no new games coming out for a while. So, like, you can just linger with this fucking thing for a while now. And there's so many new additional little treats. It's open world. You can do some things. I like that badass grappling hook now. Get you around way faster. I mean, it's just dope as shit. You know, another story thing that bothers me in this fucking game, too, now that I think about it. You got to go and take out these towers and shit like that to reestablish your base. The beginning of the fucking game, they say we lost the war. I swear, this is some Transformer shit. The war had begun, and we lost. I was like, oh, here we go. Michael Bay directed this. And I swear to God, they say we lost everyone. There's dead bodies everywhere, and we lost all the human beings. Every time you take over a tower, more humans show up and shit like that. It's just like, I thought we lost. This show looked like we didn't lose this.
Until you take over that tower.
Oh, I swear, Cody, it's like some Transformer shit. They just be finding Autobots out of nowhere. Whatever, they just be popping up.
It reminds me of those Far Cry games. We got like climb like the top of the tower, like reestablish some shit, or take over like a little security fortress.
Then a whole goddamn base is built.
Yeah, the whole base is built, and all the bad guys are gone and shit.
humans come back and shit. And you're just
life's just thriving.
Where the fuck are these humans coming from? We on this desolated island and planet and shit like that. Like, I thought Master Chief was going on it alone and shit. I found some random dudes just hanging out by some trees and shit. I was wondering why there was like a parked car nearby and shit. And funny enough, it could fit all of them in it too.
Mm-hmm.
And I just passed it up. I was like, I don't need that car. And then all of a sudden I saw like three dudes moving and shit. And I was like, what was they doing? Just chilling in the woods? Telling camp stories, and then they get all excited because they see your green ass. Yeah, mm-hmm. The chief is here. Yeah,
oh, Spartan 117.
Actually, Cody, that's Spartan 119, and he got an upgrade arm. No, I'm just fucking with you. So yeah, I wanted to give a shout out to at least one game that came out this year.
I gotta hop on that, bro. I'm like, I want to play it. I want to fucking play it. It's
the only fucking thing that's come out. That's why.
There hasn't been shit out, dude.
There ain't been shit. I mean,
literally nothing.
You got that trailer for next year for Spider-Man.
Might as well. I got it going right now.
Might as well just say fuck you at the end of that trailer.
That's all I got to go on.
You might as well just say, yeah, we know it's early, but you're going to buy this shit anyway.
Like, yeah, go ahead. Pre-order it, motherfucker. You ain't want to.
Yeah, who cares if it's a year in advance? Pre-order this shit. But yeah, that I finally got to play that, so and I got really far into it, so and that one's pretty damn solid, I must say. Another big news is Nas came out with a new little EP out.
Saw that. I haven't listened to it yet, but I saw it.
Man, it's already fucking dope. Him and Hit-Boy just stay in this fucking, I don't know, they must live in this goddamn studio. It's got 9 tracks on there.
Damn. Okay.
Yeah, it might as well be another fucking album, really. I mean,
that's another album.
Yeah. But he drops in almost every one of the tracks saying KD3 on the way or whatever. And it's just like, well, goddamn. I think 2022.
Nas does not stop, does he?
No, he's got to keep busy, I guess. I mean,
yeah, that's crazy.
It's not like music is the only thing he's doing, too. So he's damn near the spokesperson for Hennessy. He's got his own cigar line, he's got his restaurant line. He's an investor in the security company. I mean, the brother is busy. And still putting out great albums.
Yep.
The first two tracks off the bat, Speechless and Meet Joe Black, fire. I mean, it's just like, god damn, this is just a pair that need to stay together until one dies. he's got a track on there called Wave Gods with DJ Premier. And I mean,
I mean, DJ Premier, that's all you had to say.
Thank you. I mean, I saw Nas.
That's all you had to say.
I saw Nas and DJ Premier, and I just said, yeah, that's probably the best track on here.
Mm-hmm.
Hit-Boy producer and DJ Premier on. I said, okay, that sounds like a winner. So, yeah.
All right, I got to check this out. Show.
This motherfucker dropped 2 albums in 1 year.
Yeah, that's crazy.
He should be in well, it's funny because we were talking about LeBron earlier. Shit, LeBron hitting his best. He playing the best he probably ever played in a while now. Like, I've seen it. He's supposed to be in his retirement years.
Yeah. It's like LeBron gets better every year. Yeah. Different. It's fucking insane.
Well, you know, him and Nas be hanging out now and shit like that. They probably had brunch. That's true. They had brunch on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they were like chatting it up. And then he was like, he told Nas, you drop a little EP out. Maybe I'll hit 36 tonight or something like that.
Yeah, they both got that hyperbolic time chamber they sleep in. So that's what that is. That's like giving them superpowers.
The motherfuckers train together and shit. I swear to God, every video you see LeBron or Nas in one, the other one's in the background, not too far away and shit. It's like these motherfuckers just hang out together now. Like it's just the thing to do, which I got no problem in. That just tells me LeBron has great taste in music, especially in his hip-hop.
Well, not everything. I see some of his Instagram stories. I'm like, oh,
yeah. We don't even talk about that. Hey, they got to get their brunch on Sunday, Cody, okay? That's how you know they old black men. They over here relishing about their brunch on
Sunday. Drinking with mimosas. Eating that Eggs Benedict.
Yeah. Getting them crab cakes and shit.
Crab cakes.
I was like, that's an expensive-ass brunch.
Have that little fruit spread.
Yeah. Yeah, talking about what the waiter need to get or whatever and shit. You know, bottles of Bellini.
I already know that brunch is a fucking stupid crazy. I don't want to know what that shit looks like.
I want to get invited to that brunch. I want to hang out. You can't bring Westbrook, though. He can't come. And neither can AD. I don't want them fucking...
Westbrook can come. I don't mind Westbrook. AD can keep his ass
on, though. Oh, okay. Because I don't want to... I don't want to slip and say something and be like,
He could stay.
The fuck was you doing last night? What was that, Jamie? Oh, nothing. I just said pass the crab cakes, please. Mm-hmm. I don't want this big-ass Negro to throw me out. Mm-hmm. Shit,
yeah, you know? Motherfucker. What did you say? He's having a caviar right there. So yeah. A little bit right here.
Oh, not to mention, he came out with a new single too, Nas, like 2 months ago. It's called Big Nas or whatever. What a music video that came out with. I mean, so yeah, he just... That's the album of the year for me, by the way. King's Disease 2. Just want to put that out there. If I can get my album of the year nod, since we're doing our end of the year show here.
I got to think about that. Like, album of the year. I haven't really listened to many albums. Just like King's Disease 2. Shit, maybe Satellites. That's that. Sorry. Radio Galaxy. Starcadia. I really haven't listened to many albums this year.
I got a new favorite song off that album, too. It's Gutter.
Gutter?
I fucking love Gutter.
Gutter.
I can't stop playing the fuck out of that song, dude. It's just really fucking badass. Like,
let's see. Radio Galaxy. Journey to the
gutter. I got a lot of feedback on our music video commentary, by the way. And
People liking that?
Yeah, people were talking about we really funny. I was just like, bitch, you didn't know?
I say, we've been funny for a long time. You just discovered
that? It's like, bitch, you didn't know? Like, come on. Yeah. I do love when people that have listened to previously and they hit me with that comment, I go like, you act like that's new.
Yeah, what, you think we're doing this for no reason? We would be doing this if we didn't have talent.
I mean, shit.
Don't
we
even bother.
We
didn't know it was funny.
We like LeBron James with 36 points. That just comes to us naturally.
Yeah. But that's the commentary we did on the bad. That shit was hilarious. I had a lot of fun with that month. That shit was great.
That's actually my favorite month of the whole year.
That was this is spontaneity of it. And we're bringing that shit like, I forgot how bad this was.
Yeah.
And sure enough, yeah, revisiting certain. Yeah, that was fun.
So, yeah, if I can jump ahead here, whatever. My favorite months obviously was the cocktail shitty alternative rock month. And then Daft Madness came in second place. So those are my two favorite months of the last drop here.
Look, I roll with Daft Madness as my favorite month.
Mm-hmm.
I would just, you know, revisiting the Daft Punk.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. Yeah, I would put shitty rock music. That's the second.
My favorite episodes. I have two favorite episodes here, and
episodes. Okay.
Yeah. Funny enough, they both were mix and match weeks too. Whatever. So
okay, that makes sense.
They were just fucking hilarious for some reason. I think it was more because the absurdity of angriness and shit too, and whatever. But I haven't put this in order. Okay, actually, I have put this in order, but my favorite one, my favorite episode of the year is Mix and Match Sexual Healing. That's when we were talking about Lionel Richie and Hello and Marvin Gaye, and you was like, what the fuck, Marvin? Like, you kept talking about how Marvin Gaye looks with his fucked up hairline and shit. But that's Sexual Healing. I had a lot of fun with that opening.
That was fun.
Episode. I went back and listened to it, and I forgot how much fun that episode was. I forgot all about the episode in general until I re-listened to it and was like, oh, that shit was hilarious, actually. And then talking about fucking Lionel Richie raping a blind student, it was just like, come on, man.
The Lionel Richie, oh, my God, that was hilarious. Oh, dude.
Like, come on.
What was that again?
That was, I think it was 122. No, that was, okay. It wasn't 122. It was, shit, what was
dude,
it?
Dude, I remember that shit was fucking funny as fuck.
All right, now I gotta look it up now. Hold on.
Oh, please do. Let me know. I gotta listen back. That shit was
fun. Oh, it was a 113. 113. 113. Yeah, it was 113.
That shit was fucking hilarious, man.
Oh, we were watching. Oh, remember when Marvin Gaye was in the hospital? And
oh, yeah.
That look. See, I forgot what that nurse pulled out on him, and he just...
The 113, okay. That.
But that was
fucking hilarious.
Yeah, that was the episode where you had the Boat Shoes Hazy IPA.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Carl Strauss. And
episode 113.
And I had the Hibiki Master Select or whatever.
All right.
And we were just ragging on fucking... Because we love both those artists. We didn't expect to, like, you know, end up talking shit about him. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love Marvin Gaye. I think Marvin Gaye is one of
the best singers. I remember that, dude. We were cracking the fuck up. Dude, those videos were insane.
They're rapey. That's why.
Yeah. A lot of Richie's old ass going after this young ass girl. Dude's a fucking high school teacher, or whatever. Or was he in college? I forgot.
The teacher. That's right.
And he was stalking this underage. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck, dude?
Oh, but here's the caveat though. She was blind.
Oh, I forgot she was blind.
She was blind.
And then fucking Marvin Gaye's creepy ass in that sexual healing video.
Hey, when he was in that hospital though, and he was giving them looks and shit, he was ooh.
And we were like, that wasn't acting. That was just too good. That motherfucker did this before. Like, nah, hell no.
Lionel Richie getting that girl's number from the fucking student records room and shit like that, calling her in the middle of the night when it's rainy and shit. And you, me and you was like trying to give her the benefit. She was like, she don't know who the fuck this is. She like, the voice sounds familiar, but who is it? But she just going along with it because she's like, oh, somebody appreciates me and I'm blind.
Dude, I forgot. Dude, that shit would not fly today.
No, hell no.
At all, dude.
You remember in Transformers, Michael Bay put some weird shit like that with the teacher when he threw that one chick an apple and she winked at him and shit like that?
Yeah.
Oh,
I do.
What did I do. It was so random. It was like. Yeah,
but that's so Michael Bay, though.
But the teacher looked like shit, too. He was all fan. He was just like, I love how this young hot girl just like, oh, yeah, this apple. I'm like, what the fuck just happened right here? It was so random as fuck. But like you just said, it's so Michael Bay, though. So, but that was my favorite episode. Sexual Healing Mix and Match, episode 113. That was back in April. That was April 19th. My second favorite episode, Cody, was not that far from it. It was actually my birthday month in June. June 21st, Mix and Match Week, the Ultimate Bundle, Pappy 12 edition. My hunt for the Pappy 12.
Oh, yeah.
My hunt for any Pappy or Van Winkle bottle. And it turned into a whole episode of store fuckery. That was the episode where I had a lot of great stories.
Oh, yeah. Man.
I tried to treat myself. That was episode 122, Cody.
Okay.
Yeah, so I tried to treat myself for my birthday that year, Cody, since I couldn't travel this year. And I wanted like a Van Winkle or a Pappy bottle. And I went to like every goddamn store I could find or know of and shit like that, and only to get like fucked around. And I can't even remember the one craziest story. Oh, yeah, the craziest story was when that dude told me to buy 12 bottles of Buffalo Trace or
something. I remember that.
And I was like, wait, what? Because remember, he said he had one, but it was on display. He wasn't selling it. It was on display. But he was like, I can make you a deal if you buy like a mix and match. Because it was mix and match week when we did that episode, Cody. If you mix and match 12 bottles of Buffalo Trace and Sazerac bottles, I'll sell you a bottle of Pappy. I was just looking at him like, nigga, fuck you.
Are you fucking crazy?
If I bought 12 Buffalo Trace, that would equal out to like $200-$300 on itself by itself.
Yeah.
What in the hell am I going to do with 12 bottles of Buffalo Trace, Cody?
Yeah. You can't gift those because people are not going to give a shit. Because most people you know, they know about whiskey. So what the fuck are you going to do with that? You're not going to make cocktails all day because you're pretty sure you have plenty of cocktail fucking mixers at your crib. So what you going to do with it?
I have no fucking idea what I would be able to do with it. And then it would just...
It's not like there's store picks. Because if there were store picks, that'd be a different story.
If there were like 12 different stores with store picks, or 12 different barrels, I'd even be... It could be from the same 12 number. And then I'd be like, all right, I'll probably keep those and use them, whatever. But it's regular ass fucking Buffalo
Trace. Yeah, regular old Buffalo Trace, which is a fine whiskey. I'm not shitting on it.
Yes.
But come on, man.
I'm not buying 12.
Yeah.
I'm not fucking buying 12. Look, I have two Buffalo Trace store picks, and I have two regular bottles of it. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with the juice. I love the juice and stuff, whatever. But I am not about to spend $300 on a fucking
Buffalo Trace bottle. Is a great go-to bourbon.
It's a great everyday pour.
Yes. But we don't do everyday pours over here.
And why the fuck would I spend $300 on everyday pour? Cody, why would I do that? Hold on.
Exactly.
Why would I spend $300? And I still have to pay secondary on a Van Winkle? That's bullshit.
Yeah, you missed me with that bullshit.
Yeah, so that was that episode. Now, it wasn't as laughable and fun as, at least for me. Maybe you was laughing, Cody, that episode. I think this is when I just gave up. I just said, fuck the stores. but on that episode, too, Cody pulled out the Tears of Lorena.
Oh, yeah, you might be hearing about that later.
And then I had poured some Stag Junior 13, Batch 13 or whatever. But most of that, oh, and we were talking about the NBA playoffs, but most of that episode was all about the liquor store fuckery and my quest of stop shopping at liquor stores, because I don't think that might have been the last time I actually went, like, actual liquor stores and shit that I don't, like, really fuck with no more. but, yeah, I that episode pissed me off. So those were my two favorite episodes of the year. Sexual Healing, just for shits and giggles of laughter and the ultimate bundle, Pappy 12 edition. Well, that was just pure fuckery. So I don't know if Cody had any favorite episodes of his that he wanted to list.
No, man, because when I was looking back, I was looking at the like the show notes. I wasn't listening to like specific episodes.
Ah, okay.
And man, obviously, we do so many fucking episodes per year, so it's kind of hard to keep up. But I'm glad you kept up, though. Yes. You can give me great reminders, man.
Well,
I just remember specific months, obviously. And I'm glad you reminded me about that Lionel Richie and Marvin. Man, that shit was hilarious.
Well, that was why we that was what started us doing music videos on a way. We started.
That's right.
Because that was so early in
man,
the year.
Dude, and that shit had me dying.
And the only reason why we did that is because I was watching like old music videos and I was just like, man, it was kind of creepy back then. Lionel Richie was fucking with he was a teacher and he was fucking with this blind student is and shit. And you can tell all her friends, they were like, that's that creepy old Mr. Richie. Don't fuck with him, girl. And he was still like, hello. Is it me? And it was so fucked up because the lyrics say, is it me you looking for? And it's like, bitch, you know she blind. Like, hold on.
She's blind. The whole thing is just fucked.
Oh man, so that video is great for fucking commentary altogether. People go back and listen to that episode.
113. I'm gonna listen back to it after the show's over.
I listened to it while I was playing Halo Infinite. It's a great game player. So
oh man, shit, me cracking up, man.
Oh, so funny, so funny. I put together a top 10 list here.
Oh, you crazy bastard.
Yeah, but I know we only do a top 5, so I can just run down my 10 through 6.
All right.
Just go ahead and give those out or whatever and shit. You know, I got a question for you too, though.
Yeah, what's up?
I already know you got the answer. What was your favorite pour off the show of the year?
Oh, this year off the show?
Yeah, off the show. I know it was that beer. You said that was the greatest beer you ever had in your life, so I know you.
Ooh, but that was last year, though, when I had that.
Was that last year?
That double barrel Bourbon County?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that was last year.
Damn, this year did go by fast. Yeah.
Ooh, this year, that's hard to say, man.
I'm trying to think myself. I don't have an answer for you, actually.
That's really hard to say. Shit.
I'm trying to think. Off the show here. Off the show, what did I have?
I gotta look at my photos now.
I had some, I've already had it before, but never on the show, the Novel Black Wine. I love that fucking wine. That wine is delicious. Throw that up on there. what else? What else, sir? I'll throw that one in. I love that wine. That wine is delicious. Me and Cody had some of that years ago.
Mm-hmm. That is delicious.
Damn great port wine.
Man, you know, I've been getting into margaritas a lot this year.
Oh, okay.
Like a lot. Like, I've been trying different places.
Mezcal or tequila? Both?
Tending towards the mezcal realm. Yeah. Mezcal margaritas. So I would say, ooh, man, my favorite, because me and my girl, we always go to Old Town, and they have a bunch of Mexican themed restaurants, and they all have like their own little kind of flavor.
Yeah,
and there's one spot called shout out to Tahona, Old Town. Food's delicious, drinks are fire, man. and they specialize in tequila and mezcal. And I tried like the spicy
jalapeno, right?
Yeah, jalapeno mezcal margarita. Man.
That was recently when you told me about that. Not too recently, but like
I've had a couple.
Oh, well, never mind.
Yeah, but man, there's nothing better than a nice margarita and chips and salsa, man. You are set for the day. You don't need any more.
Damn,
that's my favorite thing. So I will say, I don't know what specific margarita.
You like salsa over guac?
Yes.
Same.
Well, to go with like a margarita, yes. I love guacamole too. Don't get me wrong. But when I'm drinking a margarita, I'll give me chips and salsa as opposed to chips and guac.
I prefer salsa over guac.
Yeah.
I know that's like blasphemy for California people.
Another thing, to shout out to Hona for their chips, I think they cook in a sort of like beef fat. Mm-hmm. You could taste like this kind of like meaty flavor. It is fucking delicious. Mm. Their salsa is kind of trash. I'm going to lie to you. If you want good salsa in Old Town San Diego, go to El Agave. Fire. The food is fire too. Drinks are fire too. But to hunt the chips though, oh my God. Your chip game got to be important. It has to be on point. Salsa game too.
I need my salsa game more.
Yeah. Salsa game would be on point.
Salsa got to be on point.
That's what I throw my hat into it. Yeah, a spicy mezcal margarita.
So I'll throw that.
No.
I'll throw that wine in, but I also throw in my first ever mezcal margarita I had at the rooftop. And then also another cocktail I had was a Hanoya Smash. It's a, I forgot what was in it, but it's fucking delicious. It's just fucking great and perfect. So those are my three drinks of the year off the off the show. As far as straight drinks, liquor or whatever, I don't even remember what I've had, to be honest. So okay.
Yeah, straight. I can't straight beer, liquor. I
feel like we've talked about everything that we've drank on this show, so so it wouldn't be really much of a mystery per se. Yeah. But cocktails. And nowadays when I go out to a restaurant, I really get more cocktails than I do
same here.
Because you know, restaurants
are unless the whiskey menu is just like on point with there.
For me, I mean, I mostly have most of the whiskey they have, so like I want to check out their cocktail game because cocktails have just stepped their game up so much in the past. Shit,
man, you're not lying.
And plus, you just want to see their specialty of how they do things here. But and that's the beauty of cocktails. It doesn't matter which spirit you use too; they all can be delicious. The right mix and match. So
even the ones with vodka.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be delicious.
I had one last weekend with vodka in it, and shit was fantastic. I think it was the one I told you about too. That where she was saying, "Oh, it fucks everybody up and shit." And I was just like, "This shit tastes sweet." I don't know about that, but whatever. But yeah, let me go ahead and give my 10 through 6 here. So my number 10 was Hibiki Master Select, which was funny enough on my favorite episode, Mix and Match Sexual Healing.
Very nice.
Number 9 was Hibiki 12, which was a bottle I found this year, and I'm very thankful for.
Keeping the Hibiki family line.
Okay. Yeah. You know, keep it in the family, Cody. You got to keep it in the family. Like, you wearing the Batman. You know how he is. He keeps it in the family. I mean,
Batman.
He'll train a girl and fuck her on a roof.
Don't remind me about that dumbass fucking dumbest decision.
He probably fucking Robin on that roof next. You never know.
Probably.
You remember they used to talk about like how Batman and Robin probably were gay lovers.
Oh yeah.
They just don't have the balls to do that today.
Mm-hmm.
I would. I'd write that shit in art.
But yeah, hey, fucking the whole time, Batman and Robin.
Man, that shit would fuck up so many bat boy. They'd be like, he's doing what? Could you imagine how mad the family would be? They'd be like,
oh my God. You can tell me Batman's, he's not only gay, he's also a pedophile? Oh my God. Yeah, Twitter would just light the fuck up.
They would call social justice warriors. Oh my God. Motherfucker.
The internet would literally explode.
Could you imagine he gave Nightwing that outfit because he thought he looked good in it? There you go, Nightwing.
That's why that logo has that pointy end, pointy dick. That blue logo.
That's why his name is Dick.
Yeah, exactly.
That's his pet name for him.
Call me by my real name, Bruce.
Oh, my God. Call me by your name, and I'll call you
back. Oh, I want to hear the secret Batman story. You didn't see it as entire Army Hammer as Batman. Army Hammer to the Sean Banks Robin.
Oh my God, that really does
fit. Perfect casting, right?
Oh my God, he really would make a great Bruce Wayne, though.
Yeah.
And Timothy
Chalamet. Fucking crazy, yeah.
Timothy Chalamet really would fucking make a good Robin.
Yeah, Robin.
That's probably good casting. Yeah, Call Me By Your Name is a secret gay lover's Batman story.
Yeah. Holy shit. Takes 4 years to realize that.
Oh man, I want to hear Visions of Gideon in the background. Mm-hmm. When they tell I want to see a montage of Batman and Robin.
Yeah, I think Timothy Chalamet cried his Iron Man.
You know what? I want Batman to turn down Batgirl for Robin.
Oh my God.
Yeah, like she's got strong feelings for him, and he turns it down and says,
I'm sorry, Batgirl.
There's something you need to know.
Yes.
I'm in love with Dick.
We had a good time last night. It was fun, but I want to see other people.
Mainly Dick.
I mean that metaphorically. Literally.
I want Batgirl to show up with roses to the Batcave, and she see fucking... Mm-hmm. Bruce whispering in Dick's ear, call me by your name, and I'll call you by your name.
Just drop the roses late at night.
And when she turns around and drops the roses, you hear Visions of Gideon. Visions of Gideon. I have lost you for the last time. Visions of Gideon. The fucking Twitter sphere just fucking blew up right now.
That shit breaks like the multiverse. They started to come through.
They fucking. That's what Batman told Robin when he's putting it in. I think you just ran off our fan base. That was the nerd culture, Cody. Them motherfuckers. Played it. I will not have tolerate this shit. You know what? Fuck this show. It will not be happening in my Batman. No. It's an idiot. I think we just made a very compelling love story for Batman, to be honest, but...
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, I'd watch that. Anything would be more better than that last shit I saw, so... Last image of Batman I had in my head here, but... my number 8 is... I don't even remember what we're talking about now. I done got so lost in this Batman story I want to write now. It's just up there. There's got to be like a gay fan fiction of Batman and Robin.
Of course. Come on.
Yeah.
You already know. Some fanfic shit. Yeah.
Number 7. He was so dead on with that Army Hammer Timothy shot.
Right?
Oh my God. I was nobody never cast a Timothy Chalamet, but I mean, he's whatever. Number 8 is George T. Stagg, 2020. Number 7 was Hibiki 17, and my number 6 was what I'm drinking on right now, and that is my Michter's Toasted Barrel Rye 2020. I want to give a shout out to Michter's, because that's been the most distillery I bought this year as far as things go. I suck at hunting down Michter's. You wouldn't know that from 2021, because I got all their shit this year. I got their Toasted Barrel Rye, I got their Toasted Barrel Bourbon, I got the barrel strength rye. I got the M10, the Michter's 10-year-old rye. I got their bomb burgers and shinks. So yeah, Michter's, I finally got some luck with Michter's. And so give a shout out to that distillery. And they hit me up this morning and we were chatting a little bit. And I was like, thank you so much.
I'm still mad about earlier this year how they had that fucking barrel strength rye right there. And they didn't even fucking tell me. Put the post after I left, literally like a minute after I left.
Oh, I remember that story. Yeah, I do
remember. I can't believe that shit, man. I am mad as fuck.
They do that shit all the
time. Y'all did not.
Y'all didn't just do that to me, did you?
Yeah.
You did that Booker T them. Tell me.
I know they had it. They didn't have no fucking trucks out there unloading shit. So I already knew they had it. Motherfucker.
You know how many stores I've been to that's done that shit, and I just kind of look at them and go like, you couldn't even just like.
You could let you see me here buying some premium whiskey. You could let me know, like, hey, we got this other shit too.
I never understood.
Like, you would think.
I never understood why they would just post it. Like, especially if they like saw you buying some shit in there, they'd be like, oh, you know, let me just let this person know. Hey, I got this bottle for sale right now. Like, I think they just post shit to fuck with people. To be honest,
I think so.
They like the internet. They know the internet is going.
I think so. I'm talking about you, Cypress. Yes, talking about you.
You can talk about them. Fuck them.
Yeah.
I feel like they're going to do that just because, like, they want the traffic.
Yeah, fuck them. Bullshit. But well, for so me, mad.
I don't know how this works for everybody, but for me, I don't go to a store looking for one bottle coming out with another bottle. I specifically wanted that bottle. I've already spent enough money on alcohol as it is, whatever and shit. I'm not going to go looking for this Michter's Barrel Strength and then for them to tell me they sold out, whatever, and then come out with like a Buffalo Trace bottle. That's just not how it's going to work here. I came specifically looking for this one bottle and was one bottle only, whatever. Funny enough, I have not been to that store all year, neither, Cody.
Cypress?
Yes.
Fuck them.
Well, I've heard a lot of fuckery at some of these stores. I was just like, yeah, I think I'm done.
Yeah, the liquor store game is a beast. It's a bitch.
Yeah, it really is. And I'm kind of.
That's why I just stick to K&L. Easy.
I love K&L. Matter of fact, right now, people, if you go to K&L and you're looking for some Colonel Taylor small batches.
Oh, the guys there? Oh, nice.
They're in the store. They're just not online.
But oh, it's in the store.
Yeah, go in the store. They got them for.
I actually have to buy another bottle. So I might go there probably later this week.
Yeah, this month I've been there a lot. I've been there almost every fucking weekend. So, and I saw some in there. I think it was for 39 or 49. I can't remember. But yeah, so Colonel Taylor, small batches. Small batches, but you can't beat that price. You know,
small batch is delicious. That's good value. Right there. If you find it at retail, that's great value.
Yeah, because if I have to pay anything over 40, 50 bucks, I'm
getting you can fuck off at that. Yeah.
Fuck my dick then. So, yeah.
Yeah, that. Yeah. No.
$39, $49, perfect price. Small batch, yeah. Colonel Taylor.
Absolute perfect price.
Go ahead and get it in there. K&L, I love K&L. They, I looked at my order.
It's retail.
Yeah, I love it in there. It's a great store to shop at. And plus, I had some shit delivered to me in downtown LA from them. So, they delivered.
Oh, did you end up getting that bottle?
Yes.
The Armagnac?
Yes, I did. I still got to go pick it up, though.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't wanted to go pick it up yet. I was thinking, because I was going to pick it up this week. Traffic was fucking terrible, though, dude. I was like...
Traffic has been awful, dude. I don't know. Online shopping hasn't solved shit.
No.
It's solved nothing.
I'm probably...
Literally nothing.
I'm going to try to pick it up tomorrow, because I'm assuming traffic will be dead tomorrow.
It should. This is my buying Christmas gifts.
Yes,
it's no, like Siri, right. I'm not talking to you. Fucking Siri came up again. God damn it.
It's like it's right after the holiday. It's a Monday. I mean, I just assume traffic will be dead. If it's not dead, then holy shit, then for fuck's sake. But that's another beauty thing about K&L is you can pick it up whenever the fuck you feel like it. So
yeah. So like 30 days, pick a window, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I can't get that Batman story out of my head now.
That's the secret Batman origin.
I never thought I'd say this, but I need to see this.
You know? I'm telling you, dude, the casting is on point. That really? Shit is a secret Batman movie.
Damn, Timothy Chalamet's parents is Martha and
mm-hmm.
and I forgot his dad's name now.
Thomas.
Thomas. Yeah, I almost said Timothy. Close enough. Yeah.
This is Gideon.
Robin crying because Batman left him.
Mm-hmm. Yep. he won't fuck me no more.
He said I was underage.
He said he liked pussy better than dick.
Curses that Barbara. And that's how you start your Joker story for the sequel. He kills Barbara. Stole his man.
Mm-hmm.
Man, look at that. I got a first movie and a sequel. All
right, because you know, Joker is like, it's also kind of like some kind of like gay. Yeah. Gay, you know, undertones there too, like Batman and Joker, because they can't live without each other.
Yeah, they both.
And, you know, Joker, Joker's greatest love. It ain't Harley Quinn. It's fucking Batman.
Why do you think he be throwing her ass around and shit?
He don't give a fuck about Harley Quinn. Yeah,
she just stupid. That's all her problem.
Yeah, Harley Quinn's a beard.
Hold my beer. you are the beer. Oh, okay. but Cody, getting in our top five now. Top five of the year here on the last show that we've had on the show.
On the show.
And I'm telling you, I got to keep making this fucking point across, man. I literally just had to say this 2 days ago to somebody on fucking Instagram. And I was just like, I didn't have that on the show, sir. So I can't talk about that. But yes, Cody, hit me with your
number five is going to be a mezcal. It will be Real Minero Barril.
It's not the Pachuga? Oh, shit. I thought it was a Pachuga.
Hold on.
I'm sorry. Oh, shit. I'm sorry.
That's number five.
I'll shut up.
I've been getting to a lot of mezcal this year. And it seemed like each preceding one I've had was better than the last, but I've recently revisited each mezcal I've had this year. And that's not the case. It's not like, what have you done for me lately? No. There's levels to this shit. Yeah, that Real Manero Veril, the fruit esters and characteristics of that one, with the smoke infused flavor on the palate, and the way it goes down, particularly the finish, the lingering finish. And I love, and I don't get this a lot of mezcals. It had like that fruitiness, like almost like tropicality to it. That's what made this one stand out as opposed to other mezcals.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't know what I rated it originally. I don't know if I gave it a last drop, but I did revisit it recently. And I was like, oh, my God, this is a work of art. And I don't even think this is, like, their highest-end shit, that Barrio. Because Real Manero, they make a lot of stuff. But, yeah, for some reason, I went into Bear's Warehouse a couple months ago, and I don't know why that bottle stood out to me. I was like, no, let me get this Real Manero Barrio. And sure enough, yeah, that it's a keeper, absolute winner. That's my number five, Real Manero Barrio.
And you were already a mezcal guy before that, but you wasn't that deep into it till this year.
No,
I think this show or that month at least had got you really more into it when we decided to do it back in May, mezcal month or whatever. It's not like as if you never had mezcal or was shitting on mezcal beforehand either.
No.
You always bring it up every now and then. Mm-hmm. But this year, you really have stepped your game up and, as far as the mezcal.
I have. I agree.
Mezcal is such a it's a fan favorite. Because I know a lot of people that love mezcal, but it doesn't really get the notoriety that a lot of spirits do. Hell, I would even say over what tequila gets or whatever. It's crazy to me that some people say they just can't get into mezcal or don't like it. I'm just like, it's not really all that much of a difference, though. I mean, like, it's... You know, as far as like the ingredients and shit like that, but it's like there's nothing in it that makes it like egregious or anything in it to where it's just like, I don't understand why you can't get into this. It's like really easy to sip on. When I hear people say that, I just go like, maybe I just had better mezcals or something. I don't know, but like
even that's the only thing I can think of.
Even the lower end mezcals that I've had this year, or whatever, taste so good and shit, and it's like nothing egregious about them that
Yo, that's actually true, man. There's not a lot of, like I haven't tried like every low-end mezcal, but the ones I've tried, they've all been like, this is good.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I've had better, obviously. But yeah, this is like a starter, like entry-level mezcal, this is really good.
I had that Jim and Bolt one, which is only like $35. And like, it wasn't the best one I had, but it was still really solid and shit. And I was
But you know, Del Mague, they're like mezcal kings, and they're entry-level, the Vita, which is fucking everywhere. Delicious.
Yeah. So when I hear people say that, I kind of get tired of hearing people say about any spirit too, like, oh, I'm not into tequila, or I'm not into whiskey, or I'm not into craft beer, or I'm not into mezcal. It's just like, yeah, just because there's like 300 bottles. Let's just say there's like 300 bottles of every one of these spirits. As a matter of fact, let's say 3,000. You can't tell me you're into one if you only have one.
Yeah.
You got to find the right one for you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
With the same, that's with any liquor, though. Yeah. The only one you'll never find the right one for you is vodka. I mean, because there is no right one. They all taste the same. So, I mean, all taste the same.
Vodka, that shit is all the same, dude. The only vodka I've ever tried that tasted slightly different was some vodka I tried that was distilled when I went to Hawaii years ago. There was a distillery in Hawaii. It was actually kind of good. It was like this apple-y kind of flavored vodka. it wasn't like apple additives. It just had an apple flavor. To it.
I wouldn't talk shit about vodka, but I've had enough of it by now to say I can talk shit about vodka.
Yeah, shit. Feel free to do so, brother. Shit.
I've had a shitload of vodka to talk shit about it, but but yeah, I always try to tell people to just try different spirits and just get involved. The problem is, I wish they'd just really be honest and say, I don't want to spend the money.
Yeah.
I just don't want to spend that money. Shit. I ain't trying to buy that. You giving it to me? All right, I'll take that shit then. Yeah, you giving it to me for sure then. That's a good choice, number five. I thought it would have been the Pachuca. Number five for me is the Eagle Rare 17-year-old BTEC. I had that back in July when I was on my BTEC summer, if you will. And the Eagle Rare 17 to me, I mean, it's always one of the most special and fucking expensive. Actually, I think the Sazerac 18 is probably beating that now as far as price-wise goes. But I had the 2020 batch too. It was still solid, great. I still think the fucking William LaRue 20 was a little bit better than Eagle Rare 17, but Eagle Rare 17 hits the spots, got all the vanilla oaky flavors. Out of the 2020 batch, the only one I haven't had was the Thomas Handy, and I hear that one was the best one out of all of them. So I was just thankful enough to even have the Eagle Rare 17 and the George T. Stagg 2020, which the more I drink the George T. Stagg 2020, I go to like, this one's good. It's a little bit, you know, not my favorite out of the bunch right here. It's a little bit kind of forgettable in some aspects or another, but the Eagle Rare 17 stood out just a little bit more, had a little bit more oomph to it. On the finish is nice and long, really clean cut. And I just remember on the palate having this little spiciness to it that I really enjoyed as well, too. So Eagle Rare 17 hits my number 5 in the top 5 of the last drop.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Mm. What was your number 4, sir?
Number 4. Well, you just mentioned this one, sir. It is the Del Mage Pechuga.
Pechuga. Mm-hmm. That was your favorite for a while, too, before you started really getting
it. Once again, I revisited that one, and yeah, I think it still remains my favorite. Just the all-out assault, it's in your face in the best way possible. Like, you know what you get into. You paid damn near $200 for it, so they're going to give you that flavor. Like, okay, this is why you paid $200 for this shit. Mm-hmm. And you taste that in each and every sip. It is all-out assault of smoke, cayenne pepper, you got a little bit of the fruit in there, but it's just all-out sort of smoke, cayenne pepper and roasted meat, like a barbecue sort of thing, almost like a beef jerky almost. Mm. All out salt in your face, and it changes with every sip. It gets better with every sip, and it's not like the most complex spirit I've had, but what it is doing it up to 11 and beyond. So that's why I gotta give it props.
I thought you would have had this higher, to be honest.
I thought it was going to be 2, but there's some other things in here. That is based off like complexity.
Yeah.
Pechuga is not a complex mezcal. It's like, it's not even as complex as the Barril, which I put at number 5. But for what it's doing, it does it so well. I can't not put it on my top 5.
It sounds like the best expensive everyday sipper.
Kinda. Yeah, you can look at it that way. Sounds yeah, like, I wouldn't do that shit.
Yeah, but, I wouldn't either. I bet your bottle killed those limo for me. Yeah. I heard Cody go back to this bottle so many times. Like, that's still something in that bottle? That bottle got to be empty.
But still something in there.
Yeah, I don't know about that. And every time he sips it, he gets fucking different notes and shit. And it's like, that sounds unique to me. Shit, I would have... I was like, I don't know, shit. That shit sounds like a top... that sounds like a drop of fame.
Oh, man, but sugar, man, that shit, that's my heart, dude. I love me some Pechuga. Love me some Pechuga.
You don't even know what Pechuga is. Hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on.
I think that means like meat or something like that. Well, they specifically put in chicken breasts. I don't know if that means...
It's Gideon.
That exactly. That's Del Mage Gideon.
I just came up with a name for them right there. Mm-hmm. That Del Mage Gideon.
That sounds kind of cool, actually.
It really does, yeah. They should put Timothy Chalamet on the bottle.
Yeah, he ain't crying. Put the Robin mask on.
Got your store pick for you right there.
Oh.
Mezcal store.
That would be a dope label.
Yeah. Actually, it would
store
be.
Pick.
They don't really do too many private barrel mezcals, neither.
They don't. Shit. I mean, hop on it. Get the first one.
Have you been to that mezcal tequila store in Paramount?
No, but I've been to one in Old Town Tequila. That store is crazy.
That's the one in San Diego, right?
San Diego, brother.
Yeah, that I have been to that one.
Is crazy.
I went there looking for a bottle 2 years ago, maybe right before the pandemic and shit.
Mm-hmm.
I think they had followed me on Instagram, whatever, but I wasn't really paying attention to their tequila and shit like that. But there's a store down the street from it that I went to, and I saw that one or whatever. That store is huge, motherfucker. San Diego has a few of those too. I remember me and you went into a store.
I remember one. I remember that one.
It had like a stairway or some shit.
Yeah, it was like a gas lamp kind of area, right?
Yeah, we were just walking and we couldn't tell because every store had a liquor bottle sitting in the fucking window. So he's just not like...
No, it's San Diego.
Yeah, I mean, and the building looked small as shit. But when we walked in, I remember there was a front way, there's a little stairway you walk across, then you go on the back, and then there's a stairway that looked like it goes up and shit. We didn't even search this whole store. It's like, it's too overwhelming. I get the fuck out of here. San Diego has a few of those, which is shocking because it seems like shit would get destroyed over there.
Right,
I mean, but that's an alcoholic town. So, I mean,
yeah.
I feel like if you live there, you would consume yourself to the alcoholism.
Probably. You'd just fall into it.
Yeah. Like in LA, you're a connoisseur. San Diego, nah, you just, you're an alcoholic. There ain't no connoisseurs in San Diego, Cody.
No. You're just alcoholics in San Diego. No connoisseurs.
Yeah, you just a flat out alcoholic.
Nah. Yeah, if you preach that connoisseur shit, no, you're lying. You're bullshitting yourself.
That's why it's good for when Cody just goes to visit. If that motherfucker moved there, oh my God, cirrhosis of the liver the next day.
I'm saying, man. I'm saying.
San Diego is not a... It's not for the faint at heart.
No.
And as much as I love San Diego, I will never live there. Not because LA will be dumping their trash there in like a few years.
Right.
But also because...
No, because you'll literally die.
There, that too, yeah. My number four is what I'm sipping on right now. And this little beauty right here. Oh, my God. I forgot how fucking amazing this smells. It smells so good that I might even have to bump it up a little bit. Oh, man. But this comes from my sample bottle of what I did back in February this year. The Last Drop Distillery, man. The Last Drop Buffalo Trace cast right there. Bam.
Ooh.
There it is. And this is their new lineup right here, which they teamed up with the Buffalo Trace. And this was the last I had of that sample, that little pour right there.
Damn.
And I saved it just for this episode because I was like, I know this has got to be on the top five. It's just got to be in. Oh, my God. Just bury your face in this motherfucker.
Damn. Wish I could smell that shit.
Oh, my God. Oh, shit. That shit smells like Buffalo Trace heaven. Like, it almost smells like the Eagle Rare 17, actually, now that I think about it, going back on that end. So smooth and creamy. Vanilla. Oak. Charcoal toast flavor right there. Oh, my God. It just smells heavenly. And get back into the sipping. I shouldn't have downed it that fast. God damn it.
Shit. There goes that.
God damn it. It's just perfection, man. I mean, first off, thanks to the Last Drop Distilleries for shooting me this. Second of all, for allowing me to try this and taste this beauty. And it's just like perfection. It's clean. It's smooth. It tastes like a spring drink. You wouldn't even think you're even drinking Buffalo Trace products, if you will. I don't know what it is about the distillery of the Last Drop, but they found a way to like take that bourbon burn off of it. But yet on the finish inside, it still has that smokiness to it. Oh, man, it's just. I love when the gums area has got that spiciness to it still, too. Oh, man, it's just perfection in the bottle. God damn. That was it of it, too. Shit. Oh, you.
I hope you savored it. Well, as much as you could.
Yeah. You know, I mean, this is a last drop right here. This is a drop of fame. That shit's just sticking in your gums now. I gotta drink water now before I get into my next pour because I gotta water that shit out. Like that's the type of shit you end the night with. Like you don't drink anything else after this because anything else you hit with that, it's not gonna live up to the same standard. And not only that, it's just going to dilute your taste buds, if you will. Drink a nice glass of water right after if you got to continue to drink. Man, yeah, that's my number four, the Last Drop Buffalo Trace bottle there. And it was just perfection. And it's not even the best one I've had from that distillery, neither. They've got way better pours than that one. But it's just something about that one that they took an already cask of an already established bourbon there and somewhat made it a little bit more... It's almost like the propane of Buffalo Trace. You know, Buffalo Trace, they're cooking with charcoal. Dang. Yeah, propane and propane accessories, I'll tell you what. Now, I have a real job. I sell propane and propane accessories, all right? I'm not like you little pencil neck podcasters like you, Cody. All right, I'm not sitting there with a fucking pen up my ass and writing about what the best drinks are.
I use this spatula to fit my burger because I'll tell you what, propane. Did you bring charcoal into this podcast, Cody?
So if Buffalo Trace is cooking with charcoal, last drop, use propane for this burner, and it tastes a whole of a lot completely different. I love it, man. I'm giving that my number four. Cody, what is the number three?
I like it. Well, you know, number three. I don't know if I reviewed it on the show per se. I know I had it on the show. It was during Daft Madness month. I remember you saying, man, you should have had this 2 weeks earlier when we did the Discovery album. So that's my number three. Bardstown Discovery Series 4.
I think you did review that.
Did I review it? I remember having it on the show. I don't know if I gave it like a full review of it.
Oh, you know what? Well, when we do the music month, we don't really.
Right.
We don't really talk about
that. I gave it like a little mini review.
Yeah, you had it on there or whatever. But I do remember saying you should have had that because when we did Discovery. But yeah, because, you know, people, when we do the music months, we kind of just, we're drinking on here, but we're just mainly talking about music. So maybe Cody didn't get reviewed, but I remember you did talk about it a little bit. So.
Okay. All right. So yeah, I was, man, speaking of the Old Town Tequila store, I was lucky enough to find a bottle of Discovery Series 4, another one. Mm-hmm. I thought it was the newer bottles. Like another five, six. One. Yeah, but no, they still had the Series 4. I was like, oh, shit. Well, yeah. I'm going to get this. Yeah. So, revisiting it, the nose has all these, like, red fruits going on. It's like a dark caramel, like a berry. And it's like a dry fruit, like a trail mix almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, like
the kind of trail mix. It got like
You get a vanilla and the oak, and then the flavor.
Got M&Ms in that motherfucker.
it could.
Oh shit!
And then
Chex Mix.
Chex? Hell no! Not Chex Mix.
Okay, I can't fuck with this man. I gotta get my Chex Mix, bro.
I wouldn't want Chex
Mix. Oh wait, that ain't in trail mix. Sorry, that's
where you come from? Sorry, dog's right here.
Something else. That dog scared the shit out of you. You was like,
both dogs in here. Oh shit.
You look like that dog about to give you a blowjob. Oh, shit.
I didn't see this little dog.
He was licking your ass and you was enjoying it till you looked down and was like, oh shit, that ain't a human. That's a dog.
Visions of Gideon. Hey.
But yeah, the flavor, the texture is so viscous. It has like a nice medium oiliness to it. And the flavor falls with the nose well, like this deep richness, like you get that oak, that caramel. It's like real dark, like that dark caramel, that dark berry, that kind of red fruit thing going on. And it's absolutely delicious. It's decadent. One of my favorite bourbons I've tried, period, ever. And yeah, definitely one of the definitely up there with the best pours I've had this year. So yeah, Bardstown Bourbon Company Discovery Series 4. Delicious.
Damn. Now tell us about that dog licking your ass. tell us all about that dog licking your ass. We want to know about that now. You done spoiled us now. We need to know the full story now, you know?
Yeah, shout out to the girlfriend for buying me that bottle, by the way.
What about shout out to whoever brought them dogs and lick your ass?
Also my girlfriend.
Oh, my God. Kinky. What are we up to now? Number?
Number two, right?
Yeah, my number three.
Oh, your number three. Sorry.
Yeah. So my number three is... I think I had this back in January. Yeah, I started off the year with this. Yeah, first pour of the year and shit because I wanted to kick off the 2021 strong. And I went with my favorite. Ooh, I might have to do a versus battle now. But two of my favorite distilleries right now, Michter's, as far as their rise, because I'm not a rye guy. I love Michter's rise. I think their rise are some of the best you could ever have. But there's also another distillery out there. I think they have some of the best rise ever, too. That's fucking Willett, the Willett 6-year-old rye. That's what I had the first episode of 2021 here in the last drop. And the Willett 6-year rye, that and Michter's are my two favorite distilleries when it comes to the rye. And that Willett 6-year-old rye just fucking, well, it's just fucking perfection. I know on the nose, it's got that butterscotch caramel, maple syrup scent to it. And then like it tastes... You get that caramelized sugar with the fig rolls and like the popcorn and the buttery caramel. And it's got like the spice peaches and cinnamon and shit. And it's just like, oh, it just hits in all the fucking right place. I really wish that bottle was just like easily findable and fucking affordable in some aspects. Because when you do find it, the prices are so goddamn insane. It's like in the thousands territory sometimes. And it's just like, that's just fucking crazy. I hear at Willett Distillery, they don't really have much to give neither, but some days they give out like really special shit. So I hear it's like one of the best distilleries sometimes if you can get lucky when visiting. I didn't get lucky when I visited that one time. They didn't really have anything but the 4-year-olds and 3-year-olds on the shelf and shit. Which I guess in a way, the 3-year-olds ain't like those are pretty easy to find these days now too. And if they do, I bet you're paying like $80 for them, which is fucking ridiculous that you pay that for the 4-year-olds. But I just know this 6-year-old, I've only had the 3, 4, 5, and 6 and the XCF. And the 6-year-old is just one of my favorites right now. I think I have it the 11-year-old too at a tasting once. And I don't even want to get into that because that just blows your fucking water mind away. But as far as what I own, the 6-year-old is one of those lineups that I think is my favorite that I love, even more so than the XCF. It's just got all the right flavors, right, all the punches, and the taste buds and the nose is like one of the best pours you could have of the year. And I opened up the year with it. So I wanted to start the year off strong and I wanted to end the year strong. And here we are, top 5, best of the year on here on the last drop. So my number 3 would be the Willett 6-year-old rye. All
right, damn. I knew you had high praise for it when you viewed it earlier this year. I just wasn't expecting to make it on the list.
Yeah, that Willett is probably my next to Michter's. I might have a Verus's battle, but though that's probably my favorite distillery. I love that distillery. Everything that they produce, even the 4-year-old rye that you could find at Total Wine and shit, I think that one is just fucking perfection too as well. If someone has asked me to get a rye, if they had to, I'd tell them to get that 4-year-old rye. I think the 3-year-old rye is good. I think they just put out tremendous shit over there. Even their on the shelf stuff is just tremendous. So, hell, I might pour me some of that 4-year-old rye later, and the 6-year-old.
Why not?
Yeah, might do a little bit of both. Get some ham, some potato salad, some greens, a little bit of cornbread. You know. Mm-hmm. Then do like 50,000 push-ups to work that shit off.
50,000 sit-ups.
Yeah. You know, I might go outside and beat that tire, you know, with the hammer and everything, Cody. You know.
Like Clark Kent?
Yeah.
Or, no. Sorry, that was Bruce Wayne, my bad.
Yeah, and Clark don't need to do that. He don't need to work out. So. Bruce dude, though. He needs to work out. I'd be out there beating that tire, Cody, and I'd be feeling strong. I could take on an alien, Cody. Actually, no, I don't. I never do that. I think that's the dumbest fucking workout ever, actually.
That is pretty stupid.
Yeah. Cody, what is your number 2?
My number 2 will be, well, I just had it last week. That would be the rare Armagnac, 39-year-old.
Man. I don't think you put emphasis on it. Super rare, because you can't get
this. No, you can't get shit no more.
Literally. You need to put a little bit more emphasis on that.
You cannot get that shit
anymore. No, you ain't getting that shit nowhere else. Like it's I don't think they make that bottle no more. Does that bottle have a number of bottle count on it?
I think it does. I don't have the bottle near me right now, but I think it does. It's like 405 bottles.
Oh, yeah. That shit's gone, dude.
Yeah, total.
You probably got to go to France to get that shit.
Man, but yeah, trying this again. I've had little sips here and there throughout the year since I've had it, but man, whatever it was about trying it last week, I don't know if it's because my palate got acclimated to what an Armagnac is, what to expect from an Armagnac. Mm-hmm. Everything just kind of came together flavor wise. It will really set up more to me too. Well, it did taste like a ultra aged bourbon. Like you got this intense like oaky vanilla, even a little bit of caramel.
It's like the goat of all fucking Armani,
actually. Yeah. You know? But then on that top, you add this like it's kind of deep, rich grape note too, which obviously makes it stand out as an Armagnac. It's that way you know you're not drinking a bourbon. It's like a bourbon with extra, like a bourbon plus, almost in a way. It's just tasting that, smelling it again. It is one of the most unique pours I've ever had. Mm-hmm. Period. Out of any spirit, of any drink.
If I would have had that would have been pour of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, so it just that's why looks special.
Yeah, everything was special. The presentation, everything. And the great thing about it is it's actually, well, you can't find it no more. We could find it. It was extremely affordable for a bourbon that's damn near 40 years old. Sorry, Armagnac is damn near 40 years old.
They don't make bourbon at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think
the closest thing is like Yamazaki 55. I think that's about it.
Yeah, all whiskey.
Oh, it's not general. Bourbon. Sorry,
whiskey. Yeah, whiskey in general, they make whiskey out, but bourbon, they don't make bourbon that old. They ain't got pictures for that old, whatever.
Yeah, but
maybe Booker's do.
Yeah, whatever stars aligned last week to make that pour the way it was, that Armagnac, that shit was beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. So that's, it was a close between this one and my number one. Very close.
Yeah.
Very close. But there's a reason number one kind of edges out just a little bit. But man, that magnifique. That rare Armagnac, my God. Amazing.
The rareness of it is what puts it for my number one. I just, because I'm never going to get that bottle. That bottle's gone. It's, you got to go to like some fucking cafe in France and get that motherfucker or something.
Black
like
market
that.
Shit.
Yeah. And they'd be like, do you want the Armagnac? And you'd be like, no, I don't want that. That ain't even it. You just try to sell me some fake shit. I see what that is. I need them fucking weird ass designs on it with that man making whatever the fuck he was making in that chair and shit on that box.
Yeah.
Okay. He's probably casking that fucking rare Armagnac even a little bit more. Ooh, so beauty. I'm not even all that excited about the one that I just bought off K&L. It's not the same, so.
I hope it's still good. I'm sure it will still be good, though. It's the same.
I want that one.
Still or whatever. I want that rare shit.
I want that white one.
Yeah.
I want that one. Oh, shit. Anyway, my number two is the legendary Booker's 30. This was what I had in August. And this easily could have been the number one right here. But number one, that went to even something even more rare than the Booker's 30, which I thought I would never ever say in my life, because Booker's 30 is just one of my, I think it's one of the best bourbons you could ever have.
I'm glad I had a chance to try it.
It's just perfection in a bottle. I mean, from its explosive nose to the punch in the mouth flavor to the explosive finish with the long and the strong and dry finish too on that or whatever. I mean, it's everything you want in a bottle. It's just perfection in heaven everywhere, say. And the rye is just even more incredible. But Booker's 30, man, that's just, I wish it was still findable or at least just cheaper for what it was or whatever, because that'd be like a straight go-to right there. But that's like a go-to you can hit every once a year or something like that. And luckily for me, I got more than one.
lucky for you.
Yeah, man. I love
it. Hey, where my bottle at?
Oh, hey, man. Hey, it's at a Cork for $800. And that bottle can stay on sitting on that shelf, too. Shit, might be more than that, actually, now. I love the oakness. I love the roasted nuts in it. I love not the price. I know the retail on it. The MSRP was $200. Oof. Where the fuck are you going to find that at for that price? Vanilla, caramel, the cherries. You'll always see some cherry notes on my fucking favorite bourbons, if you will. I just love the cherry scents and noses and stuff like that. Dried tobacco, the banana on the nose as well. I mean, everything about it is just perfection. That's drop of fame. All of my picks here are last drops, but this one gets a special place in the drop of fame right there. That distillery, they just knocked it out of the park with this one. And I think they know they did that because they raised the fucking price on all the Booker bottles, including even the regular bottles and shit. I mean,
that's egregious as fuck.
It really is. I mean, first of all, it's like you can't even find none of these motherfuckers. Then you raise the fucking price on, like, what kind of shit is that? I mean, that bottle.
You should be spending over $50, maybe 60 for fucking Bookers.
No, you should. You know how many Bookers I've turned down this year just out of the field? I'm just like, I don't want to pay $100 for it. I don't want to tell
them. Like, Booker's, well, not some batches are better than others, obviously, but yeah, Booker's, it's a good whiskey. It's really good.
I love it.
But come on, man. Spit it upwards like 80, 90 on fucking book. No.
Oh, it's 100. I've seen.
MSRP is what, like 100 now? Oh, fuck that.
Yeah. And it should not be whatever, because I was buying this fucking 4 years ago, 3 years ago for, like you just said, $50, $60. This shit used to just sit on the shelves in BevMo and Tuttle Bond and all those places for $50, $60 and shit. And now even K&L, they've had a few of them recently too.
Especially when you get store picks of Knob Creek 120 proof, 9-year-old, and it tastes like almost exactly the same. Same flavor profile.
Same mash bill. So
let's just go for that.
I mean, why would I? No, I don't want to spend $100 on burger. I don't know. Call me cheap or whatever the fuck you want to call it. I don't really care because it's like.
Yeah, I remember I bought it to the hype when I was like first starting into burger. I'm like, oh, Booker's. I spent like $90 on it.
That's fucking crazy. I love Booker's. I'll tell you this right now. I think it's one of the best burgers you could ever have. But personally, I'm just like, I'm so spoiled at the point I've spent $60 on it for so long. I refuse to pay $100 for it now. I just refuse. I don't give a shit what it is.
Yeah, because you can put that $100 towards like another fire bourbon. It's like actually worth it.
Yeah. Or I can get two of those non-creek 12 year old, like you just said.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah, because that shit's only $50. Or I can go to K&L and get three bottles of a Smooth Ambler 5 year old store picks for
no wrong with those.
Those are only $36 there. Let's go. I mean, there's a lot of fucking things I can get. But like you said. This year, I was more 2020. I was more in the year. This was like I'm gonna buy whatever I can get, whatever I'm getting. I don't give a fuck what it is, store picks, whatever it may be. I'm getting it all. 2021, it was more like I'm gonna save my money and use it. Like Cody just said, I could use that 100 and put it into something else to get something even more rarer, if you will, or whatever and shit. I'm not just gonna be buying. I turned down so many bottles this year, whatever that's come my way, and it's just like no, not at all. Especially that last time I was in K&L, I could have just swept up in that motherfucker right there. But I was like no. None of these stick out to me as far as what I need to have and shit. And those Booker's, those prices have just been so goddamn ridiculous this year. It's like,
stupid, man. It's dumb.
I must have turned down at least four or five of them. Could you imagine if I'd have bought all five of them? I'd have spent $500 on some regular ass Booker's. Man. I'd have been like, I could have just bought a Booker's 30 for 500. Well,
yeah.
If I would have got the hookup, I could have spent it for 500. But but even if I was going to get it, it'd be like 800 or more. I mean, I still would have had $500. I could have bought something fucking else is what I'm saying. So could have bought all the goddamn rare Armaniacs with that. Oh, and you know who's even worse, too, is Little Book. Those motherfuckers.
That makes zero sense. Why is that?
Higher?
Yeah.
You know, retailing that. Literally 2 years ago. Matter of fact, right before the pandemic, because we had a bottle of it, I spent $85 on that shit. That shit is over $139 now. Mm-hmm. I was like looking at that going like, and remember me and you loved it too. When we had that, I think we had chapter two, if I'm not mistaken. And we gave it both, I think we gave it either a last drop or a 3.5. It was really good. I just remember like, damn, this shit is fucking delicious. They knocked it out of the park with this. I love Little Book. I love Booker's. I am not spending $139 on no fucking Little Book. I've turned that down so many times this year too, and I'm like, man, I really want to try it. I do not want to pay that though. You pushing $150 almost. Actually, you are pushing $150 with taxes. So, and I haven't seen many people buying it this year neither. I think a lot of people have just said, "Fuck your prices."
Yeah, you should have to put up with that shit.
So hopefully they get the fucking notes over there because I don't really see too many people posting that shit about buying Booker's and Little Book. And hopefully they got the note over there to say, yeah, we need to bring them prices back down because that's a fucking ridiculous. You know, Costco used to have Little Book for fucking $69, dude.
Serious?
And they want one fucking $39 for that shit now. Like, but you can blow me. What is your number one now, Cody? We get
number
into
number one. Numero uno.
Here we go. Oh, shit. Here we go.
Drum rolls, please.
The rare Armaniac 39. No,
yes.
It's the 37-year-old. You bought it, didn't you, Nonsense?
I did.
Dumb bitch.
Got both.
Yeah. Got deuce. Or
dose. No, that will be the Tears of Yorona.
Man, I swear to God, I got to have this fucking... That probably would have been my favorite drink of the year off the show or whatever if I would have had that motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
That bottle, I remember when we first talked about tequila, before you get into it, I can go on a rant. When we first started talking about doing tequila, I told you about that bottle and how I wanted it so bad, and you just went ahead and said, I don't give a fuck. Put the price down and the money on it. Plus, K&L was a little bit cheaper than everybody else, whatever, because there, I think they were like $20, $30 cheaper or whatever, but... And you just can't find it for anywhere cheaper than $250, I think, or whatever the price is or whatever, but... That bottle is just so special and beautiful. It's probably one of the best tequilas of the... That might be the best tequila of the year.
Yeah. Well, it's my number one spirit of the year. Or anything of the year. Yeah. This thing is crazy. So first off, so they age three different batches in three different types of barrels, tequila. Mm-hmm. So one's a scotch, one's a sherry, and one's a brandy barrel. So what they do is that they blend those three together to give you that 1 liter Tears of Yorona.
Mm.
So just from that description alone, if they nail this right, if they distill this correct, you should know that the flavor and aroma profiles is going to be off the charts insane, right?
Mm-hmm.
Follow the hype, right? And that's exactly what it does to a T.
How much of that bottle you got left?
I have a good amount. I'm kind of swell. Shit, actually, maybe. I don't know. I got to check
it's,
again.
It's a 1 liter. I mean.
That's what I was going to get to. It's 250, but you're getting your bang for your buck because it's a big ass 1 liter bottle.
Yeah.
Of a spirit that complex, made with that much care and attention.
So young, again, too.
Yeah.
It was aged young.
Yeah, so it's like 5 years. So. Yeah. So you're getting all these flavors. You're getting that cooked agave, that brandy on the nose, the kind of like sweet oaky vanilla, kind of creamy syrupiness going on. And the palate get like this cherry nose, like a dark chocolate maybe a little bit of cinnamon, a little pepper, a little chipotle pepper too, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this oakiness and the finish is just smooth. And then you get that lingering sort of char, and then most of that roasted agave on the finish.
Mm.
And it's a journey from the top of the tongue, the middle, to the finish, the back of the throat.
Mm.
Journey. And you want to be part of every second of the journey. And it was worth every single dollar. Presentation, everything. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's one of the finest pours I've ever had. The best pour I've had this year of 2021. Mm. That is the Tears of Yorona.
Mm.
Best pour.
What's her name again?
Tears of Yorona.
Ooh, say it again, one more time. Say it for me.
Tears Ooh. Of Yorona.
Do them tears taste so sweet, Cody? Mm.
Yes, they do.
Mm. God damn. Mm. Oh, my Lord.
Magnifique.
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh.
Delicious.
That Tears of Yorona. Yorona, call me. Got a number for you, girl. You think she going to call me?
Maybe.
Oh.
Maybe. I don't know. You didn't I don't tell, sir.
You didn't sound too confident about that.
I don't know.
Fuck you, then.
I hope it works out for you. That's all I'm going to say.
Wow, that sounded so insecure.
He's good luck there, buddy.
Yeah, he's like, have a good time there, buddy. I'll see you when it happens next year. Hey, Cody, new year, new me, baby. Come on now. Come on now, baby. Come on now.
That's the motto.
Yeah, that's the motto. I haven't seen too many people writing that this year. They must be saying, I'll take my chances. New year, take my chances. Yeah. Yeah, they probably found out how hard this year saying that shit was. They probably said, let me just shut the fuck up this year. Drum roll, people. My number one. Your number one is not a beer. That's fascinating. My number
beer
one
is this year.
Have you not had a beer this year?
No, I've had beer.
I'm saying, that's right. Wait a minute. Hold on. My number one. This was not hard to do at all. This was like solidified. Once I sipped it, I already knew that nothing was going to beat this. This is without a doubt spirit of the year. This is like the creme de la creme of all spirits. This is the way that I'm capping off this year's The Last Drop episode. The last year, the last episode.
Drum roll, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, where's the drum roll when you need it, right, Cody? You're right. Where is the drum roll when you... That's how it sounds, right? Sound like a dying car and shit. This is what I'm going to end the very last episode of 2021 with. That is The Last Drop, 1976, very old Jamaican rum.
Man.
Woo, man.
I remember you talking about this one.
So your number one is not a beer, and my number one is not a whiskey. So let's just put that out there right here. Mine's a rum. Yours is a tequila. We've just trailed completely way off. We just trailed completely way off to where we started with this back in 2019. But the very old Jamaican rum, this thing, I mean, when I sip this motherfucker, which I have a little bit left of it right here, and I'm just going... Oh, God damn. My mouth is just so watery. Oh, it's like crack cocaine. Oh god. Oh my god. So this was aged or distilled back in 1976, and it was aged in ex-bourbon barrels for 43 years, which is a fucking long ass time, by the way. I mean, only the last drop can age shit for so long like that and have the patience for it. Let me just lick whatever's left in this glass now. Get a little taste of that. Oh my god. It has these layers of sweetness and spices, and it evolves right off the tip of your tongue, right into the palate, to the finish, and it just evolves from these spices into peppers, and it's got like this hints of ginger in it. It's got this long finish, and it's just like nice and spicy too, but not too spicy where it's got a little itch on it. It's like smooth transition into the spice. The sweetness subtly fades away into this dry, spicy, I don't even know what the fucking flavor, but it's like got this tingling sensation too. And it just like raises the hair on the back of your neck here. Everything about it. I remember the nose on this thing was just like so incredibly found. I was just like, holy shit. I remember when I first had, got it, I thought it was a cask. I thought it was a last drop in a cask. And I didn't know it was an actual rum. I didn't even know they made rums over there and shit. So when I was pouring this, I was under the impression that it was a cask, only for me to be drinking and going like, I don't think this tastes like fucking rum. And only to find out that it was a rum. And it literally was just like perfection. I mean, it might be the best. I said it on that episode, and I say it here too. It's the best spirit I've ever had in my life. And I don't think anything going forward in the future is going to top that spirit. That spirit was like the it and above everything. Whether it was the 43 years old aged in bourbon barrels, or whether it was just the sweetness that turned into spice, like it's a fucking Powerpuff Girl. Sugar, spice, and everything nice. Everything about it was perfect. They only released 183 of these bottles. It had an ABV of 68.5%. So you know the proof on that was really high. It had a nice little heat on it. The price on that motherfucker is probably like $5,000, $6,000. But, I'm not even going to get into that shit. Because this really just got me into rum even more. I already liked rum before that. But, like, I was just, like, blown away with the warmthness that this rum brought. It just felt so comforting drinking this, getting you out of your wheelhouse. And the long, slow maturation that it has too. It tastes like the Bahamas. It's got this cool breeze with a fucking temperatures perfectly leveled and shit like that with the heat on it. I mean, everything about like this thing I love. It literally is like the Bahamas. It's almost like who drank rum was pirates. It's like taking a long journey, Cody, with some pirates. You don't know what you're going to get into, Cody. Mm. You don't know what you might get into. You might be stabbing a fool for some booty. That's what they call money, people, back then. Okay?
That's what they call it.
I'm not talking about.
That's like, what they called it.
People like, you ain't got to be a pirate to stab for some booty. They doing that in prison right now. Come on, man. Like, yeah, you might be stabbing somebody for some booty, or you might just be out in the night with the other pirates. You just having a few drinks or two. You never know what this adventure about to take you on. But I knew what this adventure took me on, and it was just fucking fantastic. And that little ass drop was all I had left of that motherfucker. And I'm staring at this glass now going like, maybe I shouldn't wash it, and I can just like let it like dry up in the glass. Mm-hmm. And I can just sniff it every 5 minutes or something like that, because, oh my God. Whew, man. And I remember it had this one tasting note that just stood out. Like, it tastes like a sugar cane. Tastes like a fucking sugar cane.
All right.
And growing up, I loved fucking sugar canes. I had a sugar cane tree in the backyard or whatever. And actually, I fucking hated that tree because I was the one that had to clean that motherfucker up. I hated that goddamn thing. I was like, I love eating it, but I hate fucking that damn tree. I hate that tree. I'm glad that tree is no longer at my mother's house, because that motherfucker was a pain in the ass. My mother had all kind of fruit trees and shit that I had to take care of. I hated that shit. Okay. Peace and blessings out there to everybody that does like gardening and shit like that or whatever, or work in fields for fruit and shit like that or whatever. That shit sucks, okay? Okay. So much blessings to y'all for doing that job, because I couldn't do that. It had this tropicalness to it that it just fucking tasted like a Caribbean. And I loved it. So that is my number one. That'll be my all-time favorite spirit of the year, forever, lifetime. just can't. Yeah, and you're not topping this or whatever. I don't think anything will top of this. Yeah, this is the one. You got your beer of the year last year. I got my spirit of the year. And that was the spirit of the year. But that was the spirit of the fucking millennium for me. Man, I love that shit. I just wish I had just a little more.
Oh, boy.
Oh, a little drop just touched my tongue. Oh. Oh, that was perfect. Oh, man. What a journey.
Yeah. It's 2021 right there.
That is 2021.
In a nutshell.
All right, let's get into the real 2021. So COVID fucked us all over, and then people got stupider. Liquor stores for fucking more people, and a lot of shit going on. There was a capital thing that happened. Anyway, you know, all time 2021 shit. No, anyway.
Yeah, man, I like this this year for us. This is a good year. It's like a good transition year for really us was. Going forward. Yeah. Just given like different topics and different themes of that nature. Gives the show a bit more variety. It makes things a bit more spontaneous, a bit more unexpected, if you will. I kind of like it.
It was the year we finally did what we've been talking about since we started, cocktails. We finally did a cocktail.
We did that.
We did a whole month too, actually. So I remember for the longest joke forever, it's like, we're never going to do that goddamn show, are we? Well, we finally did that show. So you finally got your cocktail month or whatever. And goddamn it, were we really fucking good at it. We were really fucking good at it. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, it was pretty damn delicious, I must say. It has been a great year in this show as far as the drinks go. I mean, I was looking back on some of them and just going like, man, I really like that pour. I love that one. Had a great time with this pour. Before we wrap things up, any special distilleries or stores or anywhere you want to give a special shout out to as far as thanking them for providing you with this or any bottles you're just thankful for having, actually? I'm sure they're in your top five right now, actually.
Yeah, all my top five, particularly those first two.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially that second one. That second one.
I know it's your creme de liquor.
That motherfucker. I don't even want to taste the motherfucker.
shout out to K&L line.
Store of the year.
Store of the year.
Store of the year. K&L. Distillery of the year for me. Last drop. Obviously.
All right. Yep.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, that has to win that one. K&L, store of the year. I got a lot of my spirits that wasn't whiskey from them. Just browsing around in them and shit, you know? They win that one, you know?
Yeah. See, things to look forward to. I'm looking forward into myself. Like you mentioned, your number one was rum. That's what I'm going to dabble into more of in 2022.
That's your year. Rum. Yeah, man, I want to get in that too. That one looks like a little bit more of a challenge too, to be honest. That one kind of scares me. I'm not gonna lie. that one puts the the rappers used to say back. That one puts the fear in your eyes.
Yeah, so look out for that rum month, people. I know that's coming.
Yeah, that rum month. Next year, we'll try to do different spirits months compared. I mean, we'll probably do the tequila month in May, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's keep that traditional.
Keep that traditional or whatever, you know. And then it might even keep December as Armagnac month too as well. Mm-hmm. But the rum month will definitely come. So,
yes, indeed.
I'm thankful for all the bottles I got this year. I'm not just thankful for one of them, all of them, all the Michter shit. Shout out to Michters as well. The Weller, thankful for that Weller CYPB, adding that to the collection. The Hibiki Master Select design bottle I got. That was the last bottle actually I bought because I've been broke since I bought that bottle. that's not a lie. That's not a joke. Bought that bottle, then Christmas rolled around. that expensive motherfucker. Thankful for that bottle. Thankful for the Yamazaki 18, the Hakushu 18 I scored, the Booker's 30s. My dad came through for Christmas with the Woodford Reserve Master Collection bottle.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah. He's a big Woodford Reserve guy. He loves Woodford Reserve. And He's like, I know you don't have this one. And I was just like, yeah, because I didn't want to spend $159 on it. That's why. But I said, good looking out to you, because you just did. So I get to try it myself, which I've heard, you know, okay things on it. I haven't heard really amazing things on it. That was probably the reason why I didn't want to spend $159 on that. So thankful for, the Buffalo Trace Single Oak Project. Love that one. And yeah, I'm just thankful for all the bottles I got. I love my Japanese finds this year more than my bourbon finds, because it looked like I kind of slacked on the Japanese a little bit last year. But I did get the Hibiki 17 and the Yamazaki 18 last year, which I repeated this year with. So, and then some. So I'm happy about that. But super thankful for all that. So it's been a great year as far as spirits go. I loved it so far. I love these. I think this is probably my favorite year of doing the show too, if honestly. So, which is weird to say because of the pandemic.
Coming. Yeah, maybe looking back on it.
Pandemic.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun doing it this year. Mainly those music months, man. I love talking music.
Oh my god,
I love shitting on videos.
No, Richie shitting.
Gonna have a Lionel Richie month. That's what we should do. Rum to Lionel Richie. Lionel Richie speaks to me in rum, Cody. I don't know. I'm sure you'd love to see his dance moves, right?
Or what?
You know that blind student probably looking at this video now, going like, "Goddamn, that motherfucker."
Man, they had me in this shit. Fuck.
You're going to see a documentary on Lionel Richie. He's talking about, no, he used practical effects. That wasn't no woman putting on fake glass. She really was blind. She didn't know what was going on. We just walked her on set and shit, you know? We were filming. When she was in bed, that was a real live camera. And she couldn't see it. So, you know, we just snuck in the bedroom with her and just filmed the shit. Got free money off her blind ass. Oh
my god,
that's fucked up. Actually, ain't no worse than what he did. I didn't do it. Oh, so just do a quick rundown once again. My favorite month, obviously, was the cocktail shitty alternative rock month. My favorite episode was sexual healing mix and match, and also mix and match ultimate bundle Pappy 12 edition. People, that is a running joke. There is no Pappy 12. That's what the fucking store owners told me. They have Pappy 12. So I just want people to know that, because I know people probably hearing that and going like, this dumb motherfucker don't even know. I know there's no such thing as Pappy 12. The fucking liquor store owners were telling me that. They thought they were selling Pappy 12-year-old. That's why it's a running joke title. It's Pappy 12 edition.
I don't know if you remember, but what's that brewery? OC.
Ballast.
Fucking their names. What am I blanking?
Brewery X.
No.
You said distillery. The one. Brewery.
No. Brewery.
Why am I blanking on name? Bottle Logic.
Bottle Logic. There you go. Yeah, I don't know if you remember. They made a post. It was about a year ago.
Oh, like, I do remember this.
And they said they were filling up barrels, and it had a Pappy 12 sign on it.
That's right.
And people were like, yeah, because it's funny how ignorant people are.
I remember looking at you and going like, there ain't no such thing as no fucking Pappy 12. Like, what the fuck? Fucking they sell it, laying it, and they just raising the fucking price on it. They don't get too hyped on those beer into aged with bourbon fucking barrels, people, especially with Bottle Logic or whatever. Get that Bourbon County instead. It's much better.
Thank you.
And you don't even need the Weller 12 or Blanton's or anything like that. Yeah, that Pappy 12 shit. There's a Van Winkle 12, but that shit ain't Pappy. Two totally different.
That shit said Pappy 12.
Yeah, Van Winkle 12 is just fucking old Weller Antique and Weller 12-year-old mixed into one. So that ain't no fucking Pappy. Matter of fact, I might go pour those two right now and make some poor man's poor man's and not able to find Pappy 12. But yeah, those are my favorite. My number 10 was Hibiki Master Select, Hibiki 12, number 9, George T. Stagg, number 8, Hibiki 17, number 7, number 6, Mister's Toasted Barrel Rye 2020. Cody, what was your top 5 once again? Just lay it down for the people. Run.
5. Hold on, while I pull this up.
Mm-hmm.
was Real Mineiro Barrio. My number four was Del Mague Pechuga. Mm-hmm. Number three was Barstown's Discovery Series Batch mm-hmm. 4. Mm-hmm. Number two was the Rare Armagnac 39.
There we go. There we go.
Number one was Tears of Girona.
My number five, Eagle Rare 17, 2020. Number four, The Last Drop, Buffalo Trace. Number three was Willett 6-Year-Old Rye. My number two, Booker's 30. And my number one was a rum, The Last Drop, Very Old Jamaican Rum. That is your top five here on The Last Drop. That is the last episode here of 2021. We know you enjoyed it, so listen to it.
Yes, I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
JD
yeah.
enjoyed it.
I loved so it, actually.
You goddamn right you enjoyed it. Yeah.
We also want to thank everybody that listened, too, because we've been in the charts. It feels like every time I look, mm-hmm. we're always in the charts. So I think 1 week we wasn't in the charts or whatever and shit, and I was just like, yeah, we needed a break. So we wanted to give them other drinking shows a chance, you know. Mm-hmm. We wanted to give them a chance because we a little fair sometimes like that. But then that petty kicked in, and we was just like, "Man, fuck that show." So
fuck that.
Yeah, fuck that. We went right back, and that them top charts or whatever. So, so all the people that keep saying that that episode was entertaining, I didn't realize y'all was that funny. Bitch, keep listening. Just keep listening. You went for a world of surprises. As Rick James told that chick he licked on the face, whatever. I'm Rick James, bitch. Enjoy yourself. Just the last drop. Enjoy yourself. That might have to be a new slow.
Enjoy yourself.
Enjoy yourself right there, people. So with that.
Oh my God.
I want that shirt now. Enjoy yourself. With that said, people, I am your godfather of whiskey. I'm JB.
For the last time in 2021, mm-hmm. I am your godfather of craft beer, Cody.
We want to thank all of our listeners here in 2021. We hope you'll float on over to 2022 because we're going to be drinking more shit, talking more shit, and mm-hmm. and laughing at more shit. Mm-hmm. That's just what we do. So with that said, as we always say, livers will never be the same.
Glasses will never be dry.
Enjoy yourself.
Enjoy yourself.